In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Question 255. What are we commanded by the sixth commandment? By the sixth commandment, we are commanded to be pure and modest in our behavior. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost, and we should therefore respect them and cover them modestly. We must also respect those of the opposite sex. Modesty is a moral virtue, and Aristotle once taught that virtue lies in the middle of things. So it can be difficult to pin down exactly where and what the virtue is. For example, courage is a moral virtue, but it's hard to say exactly where courage starts. However, we have a pretty clear idea about cowardice and a clear idea about recklessness. So courage is somewhere between those two. Sometimes it looks reckless, other times it looks cowardly. So we oughtn't to think that because virtue is in the middle of things, that's sort of a geographic center. Sometimes it's way on one side and it almost looks completely reckless. And other times it looks like you're just running away. Well, modesty is similar, since it too is a moral virtue. A dress isn't necessarily modest for a woman. There are some dresses that are extremely immodest, even though they largely cover up all the skin. Trousers might not be modest for a man, even though they cover everything up. But if we put some thought into it, we will see that, in general, the more skin we show, the more we show off the body, the less we are being modest. Question 256. What does the sixth commandment forbid? The sixth commandment forbids all impurity and immodesty in words, looks, and actions, whether alone or with others. Examples of this would be touching one's own body or that of another without necessity, simply to satisfy sinful curiosity, impure conversations, dirty jokes, looking at bad pictures, undue familiarity with the opposite sex. All those are forbidden. Can we look at someone immodestly? Sure. It's strange, isn't it, in a sense? Take a woman who is dressed so that everyone can see her chest. What are men supposed to do? Should they stare? Should they look away and not look at her at all? Suffice it to say that Catholic men cannot help but notice. That, amongst other things, is what it means to be a human being. But to be faithful, to practice the faith, means not to take a second look. That is where the virtue of modesty comes in. The virtue, or the strength of modesty, enables us to restrain our impulses so that we do not have to behave like animals in this regard. Question 257. What are the chief dangers to the virtue of chastity? The chief dangers to the virtue of chastity are idleness, sinful curiosity, bad companions, drinking, immodest dress, and indecent books, plays, and motion pictures. Notice that the first danger mentioned here is idleness. You might have heard the old saw, idleness is the devil's workshop. This is true. We've got to keep ourselves busy. But for many, I might change the order. I might put indecent images, say, as number one. Because it depends on the person. Sometimes indecent images are the worst enemy and not idleness. The internet, for example, is a way to corrupt the soul just as quickly as anything we've ever seen in history. So it depends on the person, where their weakness lies. But for all of us, idleness is a real danger. Question 258. What are the chief means of preserving the virtue of chastity? The chief means of preserving the virtue of chastity are to carefully avoid all the necessary dangers, to seek God's help through prayer, frequent confession, Holy Communion, and assistance at Holy Mass, and to have a special devotion to the Blessed Virgin. Many fall because they do not avoid dangers. They go to movies which are objectionable, or which only adults should see. They read dangerous magazines or newspapers. They associate too much with the opposite sex. Try to excuse themselves by saying that they have no bad intentions. Good intentions alone are not sufficient. Human nature is very weak where purity is concerned, and we must keep far from all dangers, or sooner or later we shall fall. So to avoid these, we need to stay in the light of Christ. The only way that we can really sin is to do what Adam did, that is to go into darkness and try to hide from God. But if we're open to him, converse with him continually and familiarly as a dear friend, as a father, we will not step out of the light. This will help us avoid unnecessary dangers as much as anything. I say unnecessary. It's pretty much impossible now to go into a supermarket or to drive on the road and not see some extraordinarily immodestly clothed women or men either walking in the aisles or on the magazine covers at the checkout. But we have to buy food. So as long as we are vigilant and are talking to God and not leaving his company and have acquired the habit of averting our eyes, not taking the second look, we can withstand these temptations. But it says here, good intentions are not enough. We have to do something. That's the key. We're here at the end of lesson 19. And for a prayer, there's a marvelous prayer here from the Rakulta. It's at the bottom of page 126, praying to St. Joseph, the foster father of our Blessed Lord, for purity. Let's pray it now. Holy St. Joseph, Father and Protector of Virgins, to whose faithful keeping Christ Jesus and Mary, the Virgin of Virgins, were committed by these dearest pledges, Jesus and Mary, I beseech and conjure you that I may always serve Jesus and Mary in perfect chastity, with a spotless mind, a clean heart, and a chaste body. The habit to be acquired with this lesson is to try and dress modestly. Think about it. What clothes do you have? What are the clothes expressing Christian modesty? If they are not, you'll need new ones.